15:10. Now, I said a few different things when I first started the show, and being that Julie Newberg was gracious enough to write a little article in the Arizona Republic about this, there's probably a lot of people listening who are not amateur radio operators and don't know a lot about what we're going to be talking about. And the first thing I said was our DX phone number is 1-800-293-KFNN, and people are out there saying, what is DX? And, of course, that means long-distance communications. And Senator Goldwater has talked all over the world, and which we're going to certainly discuss in the 2 hours that follow. The other thing I said is CQ, CQ, CQ. That's how I started the show. And now there's a lot of schools of thought as to what CQ means. Senator, do you have a philosophy? Because we've had some arguments as to what CQ stands for. Like I've heard people in the Navy say, well, it's a call to quarters. That's where it came from. And then I hear people saying, well, it sounds like seeking you, seeking you. Do you have any idea? Okay, oh, wait a minute. What are we doing here? Is that on better? Okay, because I can't hear him.
Yeah. I can hear.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Anyway, okay, so we say that all the time, though, CQ, CQ, whether we do it on Morse code or whether we do it on voice. And Morse code, another is CW. Continuous wave. So we're going to give some amateur radio information today. First, let's start. What got you initially involved with even wanting, way back in what, 1922, I would say?
1922.
Okay. So what got you interested in radio? Were any of your parents involved in anything like
that? No. My parents had trouble turning a light on. I just got interested one day. I don't know how. We only had about four hams in the whole city. And I went to work after school for the first wireless store. It was down just north of Van Buren where the old town ditch used to run. That was a little canal that ran right through the middle of town. And Earl Nielsen ran this shop. He had his call was 6BBH. And mine became 6BPI. And I'd go in there after school, and they'd let me pour solder and solder lugs. And in fact, we made the first broadcast station in Arizona there. It was then KFAD. It's now KTAR.
It's grown a little.
I don't know what ever happened to that old 250-watt transmitter. I think I was also the first disc jockey. I used to play records down there at night, and on a good, clear, cold night, they could hear us in Mesa.
it wasn't putting out that much power, right?
No.
250 watts. Well, we put out 10,000 here, and not everybody hears us all over either. Got to hope the weather is good. Okay, so you got involved in radio, and you got your amateur license. Amateur licenses have changed a little. They've evolved a little over the years. What did you have to go through to get your license?
Well, you had to do 10 words in Morse code, which was the hardest thing to do. And then there were just a few technical questions. They didn't amount to a hill of beans. I don't even remember what they were. Because in those days, the circuitry was so simple that anybody that could read could make a transmitter or make a receiver. My first receiver was a crystal set. And on a good night, I could hear Los Angeles.
Was it out of an oatmeal container? I remember a lot of
people. No, it was just a crystal with a cat's whisker on it. And then my first transmitter was a Ford spark coil that I took out of a Ford automobile. And if you were wide awake, it'd go but maybe a mile or two.
Put out what, like 100 milliwatts or something?
Oh, we didn't measure watts then.
That's what Al Gross, WAPAL, always says, kilocycles, it's not kilohertz, you know. So I guess if you go back that far. Okay, and so you were like a pioneer because the ARRL, I'm not sure when they started, but you've been a member since 1923.
Yes.
You had to be right there in the beginning. I mean, how, do you have any idea when did they first begin? Well, way before that.
I think they first began around 1914 or 15. Percy Maxim and some of those old fellows found it.
Well, I know that reading here from the Radio Club of America, it says the oldest amateur CW transmitter, the superlative like first or oldest tends to be controversial, but this is justified. It was shortly after the turn of the century that the first continuous wave, that's more so, signals were generated by RF alternators and arc transmitters.
Yes.
The vacuum tube was not even used in transmitters until shortly before World War I. And little is recorded of their use by amateur radio operators. Because of mechanical limitations, the Alexanderson alternator was generally limited to 200 kilohertz or less, leaving only the arc, which under certain conditions could oscillate at the higher frequencies being investigated by the amateurs. Higher frequencies being not like
yeah,
today.
I remember the old arc transmitter. In fact, the first really good transmitter I made was a quarter kilowatt transformer that ran a rotary spark gap, and I think I worked a fellow in Iowa was my best DX with that, although I was heard in Hawaii. The first tubes that came out, I can remember, because they sold for about $1 a watt, and I remember picking cotton for almost a whole summer to put together $5 so I could buy one 5-watt tube, and I made a transmitter out of it, and then I eventually got up to 20 watts, and I did work I worked a station in Honolulu with that, and we began to get out more and more and more.
Well, it's kind of strange that long ago there were ham operators in Honolulu. I mean, you know.
Oh, no. There were hams all over the world. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. Way before we were.
So radio really got, I mean, people all over started learning about it at about the same time. I mean, Marconi.
That's about right, yeah.
And so everybody would start with their little crystal sets.
That's true.
And then when FM started, that was probably a big innovation.
Well, it was a big innovation. It really didn't get going well until World War II.
Oh, okay.
And the Navy never did change from AM to FM until after the war. So if you were up flying an airplane and you wanted to talk to the Navy, you couldn't do it because we used FM in the airplanes and they used AM. Now everything is FM. There's no more Morse code. And the future... The biggest advances in the future of this world will be communications.
Well, we're certainly going to talk a little bit later about the licensing requirements today and how it's exploded since 1991 and since they've changed the relaxed the law on Morse code. There are still people coming in on the novice level, which requires Morse code, but it's not necessary, and 80% of the people that are becoming hams now are no-code technicians.
Well, no, there's no code used anyplace.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got some people out there, they only want to use CW.
I work CW quite a bit myself.
You're on the YL nets all the time, is what I was
yes,
told.
Yes, I'm kind of lazy. I don't like to retune my amplifier, and getting a QSO with these girls or any of the stations that are working them is very easy. I'm not a DX nut, and I'm not a rag chewer nut. I just like to tune the radio on and sit there and listen and talk a little bit.
Did you ever get your stuff all tuned up since the scouts left Wednesday night and changed everything?
Yes, funny thing, they didn't bother anything. I had to retune the linear. But I had to be retuned anyways.
And when we're talking about a linear, that's a piece of equipment that increases your output so you can get heard better. And QSO is a conversation that you have with somebody. And a YL net, and why that is kind of funny and why I mentioned that is that's young lady net. So the senator is probably you're a major player in the YL net.
Well, the XYL.
The married women.
Oh, Wouldn't say major. I just this afternoon I'll turn it on and there'll be somebody there. We talk to each other.
What frequency is that?
14332.0.
14332. Okay. A lot of people ask me all the time, and I know I asked you this before the show started, but I'm going to read this only because people ask this question. Where did the word hams, H-A-M, ham, come from? Now, a lot of people think we're hamming it up, you know, we're making a ham of ourselves and sort of that, but that's really not one of the more believed stories.
Oh, I never really heard of a dependable source. I just figured people didn't say amateur, they started calling it ham.
Well,
that's all I've ever heard.
Well, here's a story that comes from the Florida Skip magazine in 1959, and then, of course, I've read this in a lot of different things, but it says, have you ever wondered why amateur radios are called ham? Well, it goes like this. The word ham, as applied to 1908, was the station call of the first amateur wireless stations operated by some amateurs of the Harvard Radio Club. They were Albert Hyman, Bob Almy, and Poogie Murray. At first, they called their station Hyman, Almy, Murray. Tapping out such a long name and code soon became tiresome and called for a revision. They changed it to Hi Al Mew, using the first two letters of each of their names, and early in 1901, some confusion resulted between signal from amateur wireless station Hi Al Mew and a Mexican ship named Hi Al Mo. They then decided to use only the first letter of each name, and the station call became Ham. In the early pioneer days of unregulated radio, amateur operators picked their own frequency and call letters. Then, as now, some amateurs had better signals than commercial stations. The resulting interference came to the attention of congressional committees in Washington, and you know what happens when the government gets involved, and gave much time to propose legislation designed to critically limit amateur radio activity. In 1911, Albert Hyman chose the controversial wireless regulation bill as the topic for a thesis at Harvard. His instructor insisted that a copy be sent to Senator David Walsh, a member of one of the committee hearing the bill. The senator was so impressed with the thesis that he asked Hyman to appear before the committee. Hyman took the stand and described how the little station was built and almost cried when he told the crowded committee room that if the bill went through, they would have to close down the station because they could not afford the license fees and all the other requirements which the bill imposed on amateur stations. Congressional debate began on the wireless regulation bill, and the little station ham became the symbol for all the little amateur stations in the country. They say this is in the congressional record. Now, then they rebuffed that. They said, and this is another thing, it says in an address by KB6HLR, the popular story of how we got called hams was related. It's a great, neat story, but it's reputed by W1RW. It's not true. And then it says, sorry to tell you, but that is unfounded. It's a fraud. He was in the ARRL in 1947 when this story was first published in the New York Doctor's Medical Bulletin, and of all places, we had never heard the tale and so investigated it. There are no facts to back it up. And then we've got this, which may be the answer. Where did amateur radio get the name ham? From the initials of a magazine called Home Amateur Mechanic. It devoted an entire issue to radio assembly in 1912. Not nearly as glamorous as the other story I gave, but more likely, I've heard of the word of the Ham magazine, H-A-M, and have read that it was one of the first rags to tell the common folk how to get on the air. But as you are quite aware, there are many reasons for the term ham, as there are hams.
I've never heard those before. I just, I've always called it ham, and I didn't care much where it came from.
Well, I just, you know, I think those are very interesting.
Very interesting, because I've never heard any of that.
And that's one of the first questions that I always get is, why are you called a ham? And, you know, if they know me, they know because they think, you know, you're hamming it up.
Oh, I get that question once in a while.
Okay, we have Jennifer online. Welcome to Ham Radio and More on KFNN.
Hi, I'm 13, and I just wanted to ask Senator Goldwater how he helped the people in Vietnam help the kids overseas, the boys overseas, get in contact with their parents. if he still did stuff like that today with all the Gulf War and stuff like that.
Okay. She's asking about Mars, basically, and what happened during Vietnam.
About Mars? Oh, Mars, military affiliate radio system. Well, each of the services, the Navy, Army, Air Force, and the Marines, and the Coast Guard, had a division of the Military Assistance Radio Service. Of course, I operated my station with the Air Force, and we completed 300,000 phone calls from Vietnam to families here in the United States and even families living over in Europe. It was a very good service. One of the great thrills I get today is being in some remote part of the world and people will come up and say, oh, we want to thank you for having allowed us to talk to our families during the Vietnam War. So the service is still going on, but today, if you're in uniform any place in the world and you want to call home, all you have to do is find a telephone, pick it up, and dial your home number, and you're in. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, and I also just want to say I think it's great what you did and stuff like that. And I just wanted to say I'm watching you because my dad has the ATV station on, and I just think it's great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jennifer, are you a ham already?
Yeah, I am.
What's your call sign?
N7NWP.
N7NWP, and you're 13?
Yeah, and I've had my license ever since I was 7.
Well, that's how old I was when I got my license, 13.
You've had your license you were 7?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Well, I ran into a girl the other day, 10.
She's sitting there, my daughter, watching. 11. Oh, thank you, Jennifer. Very good. That's exactly the kind of calls we like.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And how's the picture on Channel 57?
Well, it's pretty okay.
Pretty okay.
Well, thank you. Thank
you.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Bill, KB7NHZ, welcome to Ham Radio and More. And by the way, our phone number here, 230-2755, 230-2755, or 1-800-293-KFNN, and we're on with Senator Barry Goldwater.
Oh, I called 241-1510. That shows you what kind of dummy I am.
Well, listen, Bill.
How are you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
This is, besides historical, your best show ever. Congratulations to you and your crew and my buddy the senator, who's not only a peach of a guy, but the original Mr. Arizona.
Thank you.
Larry, N7NOU, Norm, and Wayne, and also my ATV Club fellow members, who are doing a terrific job allowing us to watch your show this week.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because it just made me an honorary member of the ATV, and I can't wait to get home and crank the rig up and try it. Over.
Oh, Barry, I just can't wait to see you on there. I've been hoping that you would get on there. I want to tell you, the show this week, Lenny, is, I hope you do it again soon. And all disabled amateurs, the listeners, shortwave listeners, and the DDXers are watching and or listening. And Barry, we love you. Lenny, we love you. And your new ATV shirt, Barry, we hope it fits. It'll look really neat.
Well, we're going to have Barry on every week. He's going to be my new co-host. And
good.
Well, thank you very much.
Good. God bless you, Senator. We love you. Lenny, it's a good show.
It is.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay. We got somebody else here. Oh, look who we have. Earl, K78J, Mr. ATV here. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing fine there. And the call is Kilowatt Sierra 8 Juliet. And for people watching the show via amateur television, it is my call letters that are on the repeater there. I have a couple of questions for Senator Goldwater, if you wouldn't mind.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, Senator Goldwater, do you get on 2-meter FM? I know I've never talked to you, and The second question is, are you interested in amateur television, and have you ever seen our amateur television repeater?
Well, you got a couple of questions there. Yes, I'm on 2 meter. In fact, I just put a rig in my car about 2 weeks ago, and I'm playing around with it, trying to find the best frequency, but it's fun driving the car around and talking on 2 meter. And then I have a 2 meter rig at my shack that's probably as old as I am, and it doesn't work anymore. So I've got to take it apart and figure out what's wrong with it. Now, I played around with amateur television. Oh, Lord, it's been at least 12 or 15 years ago. One of the hands that helped run my station during the Vietnam operation became very enamored with TV, and we put a rig in for him, and I remember the first TV contact I made was with the ambassador from Greece, and he didn't know me, he didn't recognize me, but I recognized him. His name was George, and I kept calling him George, and he didn't know why the hell I knew his name. But that was my first TV contact. I haven't done it, though, for a great number of years, but now that I'm an honorary member of ATV, I'm going home and crank it up. Over.
Okay, that sounds very good. Well, that sounds like slow-scan television as opposed to what we're doing here in Phoenix.
It is slow-scan. I don't know anything about the new stuff.
Yeah, the new stuff is fast-scan. We watch you live as we're sitting here on the telephone. It's almost like a picture telephone. We're seeing your picture live, and we can wave at you, and you can wave at us, and we'll say God bless, and we'll let somebody else talk here.
Okay.
So, really good show.
You can, Earl, you can bring over one of your, I know you can, you know, let them check out one of your pieces of equipment.
That's very true, and in fact, we'll do that, Senator Goldwater. We are a small manufacturer, and we'll bring over a rig to you and let you try it out and see what it's all about.
Thank you. Who handles your stuff here?
Well, I'm a direct manufacturer, a small manufacturing outfit right here in Phoenix.
Okay, well, give me a call.
All righty.
Okay, Earl. Thanks a lot, Wes. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye now. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to have to pay a few bills, take a short break here, and we're here at 230-2755, 230-2755, 1-800-293-KFNN if you want to talk to Senator Barry Goldwater. And let's see, we'll be back right after this break.
When a major earthquake hit San Francisco in 1989, amateur radio operators were there to relay information when phone service was interrupted. A year ago, when hurricanes ravaged Florida and Louisiana, ham operators were there to aid in disaster relief efforts. And during the Gulf War, amateur radio volunteers worked as Mars operators, relaying messages from service people in the Gulf to loved ones back home. Time after time, amateur radio enthusiasts have given, volunteering their services during times of need. The Valley Petrie dealerships recognize the fact that hams are special people. That's why licensed hams receive special fleet pricing on new Buicks, Isuzus, Chryslers, Plymouths, Jeeps, and Eagles. You can save real money on a new car, truck, minivan, or 4x4. For more information on this money-saving program, contact the fleet manager at any of the Valley Petrie dealerships. For fleet prices on new Jeeps or Chryslers, contact Gary Primorano at Petrie Jeep in Scottsdale, 994-4999.
There's a new way to get to Laughlin, Nevada.
Just call toll-free 800-GO-TO-WIN.
Air West Airlines Laughlin Express is your quick way to Laughlin, Nevada with convenient flights every day.
Just call toll-free 800-GO-TO-WIN.
It's the easiest way to visit the Colorado River casinos. Passengers who want to cut their travel time from 4 to 5 hours to less than 60 minutes can hop aboard Air West Airlines Laughlin Express Metroliner PropJet at Scottsdale Airport. For more information on departure times and reservations,
Just call toll-free 800-GO-TO-WIN.
Prices start as low as $98 round trip, and they also have special fly and stay packages with your favorite casino. So instead of that long drive to Laughlin, fly to Laughlin on Air West Airlines Laughlin Express.
Just call toll-free 800-GO-TO-WIN.
That's 800-GO-TO-WIN, G-O-T-O-W-I-N.
Need to fill an opening with a dedicated, ambitious employee? Hear Arizonans with Disabilities talk it over on Arizona on a Roll, Sundays at 3 on 1510 KFNN.
You're listening to Ham Radio and More on KFNN. If you'd like to join in the conversation, call 230-2755. That's 230-2755. Or outside the local dialing area, call 1-800-293-KFNN. Now, with more about amateur radio, here's your host, Len Winkler.
And we're back with, as far as I'm concerned, the most well-known ham radio operator in the world, bar none, Senator Barry Goldwater, K7UGA. And I have to ask you, what year did the call sign K7UGA come to you?
Well, when I started, I had 6 BPI, and I carried that pretty much until they started putting the letters in front, so and the whole divisions, and we became WK and AN. Now there's so many
A
letter, you just can't. I don't know if I'm talking DX or what when I get in the air. The K7UGA I acquired while I was in Washington in the Senate, and they gave me another call for Washington, K3 Uniform India George, but I never used it. I just discarded it and held on the K7UGA Portable 3. So that's how long I've had that. People often say, why don't you get a three-letter call? I said, I don't want one.
Well, I was just curious. At that time, you could get a specific call, couldn't you? And I
no.
just want no. Okay.
No, they just recently relaxed their positions a bit. If I wanted to get 6 BPI, mm-hmm. and it wasn't assigned, I could get it. But I don't want it. I'm very happy with the call I have.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
And people know it, and so that's the way she goes.
But it doesn't stand for anything. I thought maybe, you know, the G.
No.
Okay.
The only thing I know that I had a hand in was W3USS, United States Senate, and they're very, very active. They're one of the most active ham stations I know, and it's operated by, there's no other members of the Senate who are operators, but there's a lot of people who work in the Capitol building, and they use it.
That's what I was going to ask you. Who do we know? Is there any other major internationally known person other than maybe King Hussein?
Yeah.
And do you speak to him? I mean, do you really talk to him? I've heard that rumor. Do you really talk to him?
I've talked to him once. He's a very difficult man to get because his station is at the base of a cliff facing the other way. So getting through to him is not easy. I tried to catch him once when he was flying his airplane, but I was not able to do it. I don't know. The old timers that I knew, General LeMay, Griswold, Butch Hassan, they've all pretty much died, and I just like to sit the rig and talk to anybody.
Okay, now, last year they tried, Vice President Al Gore helped sponsor the bill for the Amateur Spectrum Act.
Yeah.
Were you for that bill passing? I can't imagine.
Well, I wasn't there when
no,
it was introduced,
of course.
And I really, I never looked at it, so I don't know.
Well, that bill supposedly would have taken, if the FCC ever takes away any of our frequencies like they did with the 220 band, they would replace them. And they had real, that was the bill. And they got a good amount of of senators and House people who were in on it, but didn't get, you know, passed, of course.
Well, there's only one or two people in the whole Congress that know what the hell goes on with any frequency. And the big problem with more frequencies, there just aren't more frequencies until we graduate from sideband, single sideband, to double sideband, and then triple sideband, and we'll get down someday where instead of saying you're working 14.332, it'll be 14.332.875. And I don't want to see that.
Well, I all the commercial ventures are trying to take our frequencies,
oh, that's right.
and that's really what I try to do with this show, is to get the public to know how important amateur radio is, because they really don't. You know, in my opinion, when a person walks up to you, or you walk up to somebody and you say you're a ham radio operator, they think of a couple of things, and they're all disparaging. They think, one, oh, you're the guy with that ugly antenna that in my neighborhood that collects all the pigeon poop,
yeah.
Or two, you're the one that causes all the interference on my TV set or my telephone, or three, you're a truck driver or a CB-er. And so they don't realize all the great things that amateur radio does.
Well, I think one of the big services you can provide is not to refer to amateur radio as a hobby. It's a service. And to give you an example, this is one of many. One night, I was working my ham station, and another ham called me, and he said, I just finished working a station in the Andes, and they need help. And he gave me the frequency, so I called this station, and it was run by some Catholic sisters. And they said, you know, we have an outbreak of polio in this little town we live in, and we don't have an iron lung. My mother had just bought an iron lung for St. Joseph's Hospital a month before, so I gave her a call, quick call. I said, Mom, that's what we call my mother, you want to buy another iron lung? She says, oh, why not? So
cheaper, by the
I got a hold of the man that made them, and he agreed to sell her one at half price. I called the head of American Airlines, and he agreed to haul it to Miami, Florida. I called the head of Pan American Airlines, and they agreed to haul it to this woman of the sisters. And I call that a service performed by amateurs. And it goes on every day. I had a QSO the other day with some fellow. I'd even forgotten about it. And he thanked me for saving his life. I said, what happened? Well, he said, my wife and I were sailing my little boat to Honolulu, and we got in a terrible storm. We wound up down off Mexico, no radio, no contact, and you just happened to hear a little signal of mine, and you called the Coast Guard, and they came and picked me up. Now, that's the kind of stuff that goes on day after day after day.
Oh, yes, and just locally, we had an international spotlight on a couple of hams here,
yeah.
Vince Thompson and
yeah.
Frank Smith and a few. They brought in the guy from Albania,
yeah.
And they performed a surgery on him. In fact, the first ham from Albania in, what, I guess 35, 40 years or something. And I forget his name now, but and they brought him here. They fixed him up and sent him back. So, you know, that was all done by amateur radio operators free of charge.
Well, last 4th of July, my wife and I were driving down from Pine Top, and, of course, it's just bumper to bumper,
mm-hmm.
And a motorcycle right ahead of us had run into the car ahead of him, which was his mother driving the car, and he was pinned under his motorcycle. Well, we were the next car. My wife, who's a nurse, got out, went out and helped him, and I got on my ham radio, mobile, and I started calling Mayday, and the first thing I know, here comes a helicopter from the sheriff's department. Well, we didn't save the guy's life, but we gave him a little service.
Excellent. I was going to ask you, just off the cuff, if you've ever used the auto patch.
Oh, sure. I use that all the time.
Okay. I just was curious, you know,
yeah.
on FM, you know, there's a lot of talk about whether they should allow the use of being able to order a pizza over ham radio and auto patches.
You're not supposed to.
Well, that's correct. But they're talking about...
You're not supposed to do any business over ham radio, but I see in a publication the other day that they're talking about changing that. I hope they don't.
Well, okay. We have a guy on here who's my co-host every so often. He wants to order a pizza. He can't wait till it changes.
You can do it. You won't get shot.
Okay, let's take a few calls. We got all the lines lit up here. Okay. Alan, N7UJJ, welcome to Ham Radio and More, and Senator Barry Goldwater.
Well, how do you do, Len, and Barry Goldwater? I feel like I'm talking to two of the largest ham boosters in the state of Arizona. This is a real thrill.
Thank you, Alan.
Barry, or Senator Goldwater, I was with Len the other night when we were out at your ham shack, and probably the second most famous spot in Arizona after yourself was your ham shack. I'd seen pictures of it, and the wall was covered with many of your collections from amateur radio and your political service and your aeronautical exploits. I'm a teacher down at Carl Hayden High School, and in about a month and a half, we're going to be allowed to talk to the astronauts when they go overhead in one of the space shuttle missions. And we'd like to invite you to participate with us if you would like to. We figured anyone who knows ham radio and aeronautics, and I understand you're quite interested in satellite work now. You seem to be like the perfect man in Arizona to be our guest of honor.
Well, thank you. Write me a letter. I have a pretty difficult time making dates because I'm kind of limited. I'm not as spry as I was a long time ago, and it's kind of hard for me to move around. But write me a letter, and I'll be in touch with you.
You know, it'd be neat if you got on and talked to the astronauts. God, would that be a kick?
I've done that.
Oh, you have talked to them?
Sure.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were ever involved in that or not.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, great. Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Senator. I certainly will write you the letter.
Okay, Alan. My name's Barry.
Thank you.
Thank
Senator
you.
Goldwater.
Thanks, Alan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Denny, W0BMW, you're on Ham Radio and More on KFNN.
Well, hi. This is Dennis, and I'd like to say hi to Barry.
Hi.
You're doing a tremendous service for ham radio. And I don't think Barry probably remembers, but when he was running in the Senate, my wife and I and my three girls met him there. And then I was made chairman of amateur radios for the state of Kansas when he was running for president. And he stopped by in Kansas, and we were able to meet him again. So I'm not sure he remembers that, but we certainly do.
Thank you.
And we enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, it's a good thing he moved out here. It's a little better than Kansas.
Well, I'm down here just for the winter, but it's really, really enjoyable.
Well, I have a lot of good friends in Kansas, and I have a good affection for it. I knew old Bill Lear that built the Learjet. I think I flew the first one he ever made, and have a lot of good ham friends back there.
Yeah, and I remember I worked for Learjet there for a couple of years also, electronics engineer.
Good.
So I just wanted to, and I was hoping that one of these times I come down, I'd like to meet you, and at least for a few minutes, but I imagine you're pretty busy.
Well, they keep me moving a little bit, but just give me a shout someday.
Hey, I'll do that.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
Thank you, Dennis.
You bet.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ken, N7PHO, welcome to Ham Radio and More, and we have a couple lines available at 230-2755. You're on with Senator Goldwater.
Good afternoon, Lynn and Senator Goldwater. My name here is Ken.
Yeah.
And I'd like to ask a question. I understand that in the end of 1994, that the Registry of Motor Vehicles are going to be taking away ham plates. And right now you can get them, but when they expire, they're not going to be giving them back again. And I'd like to know, you know, if you know any reason why that they are doing this.
Well, that's the very first I've ever heard of it. And I have my license plates on my car, K7UGA, and I've had them there for God knows how long. And I've never heard of this, but I'm going to call the governor on that. There's no reason that I can think of that they should not allow that. They charge. In fact, I read an article There was an article in the paper just the other day about the special plates that we could buy. It listed everything. God, it had everything in there from dog lovers to cats. It never mentioned not continuing them. But tomorrow I'll get in touch with the governor and raise a little hell.
Oh, I appreciate that, because we listened to the Newsline. I must be going back about maybe 6 or 7 months ago, and that's when I first heard it. And I thought it would be terrible that they would take something away, especially when hams are so involved in all types of different community services. The other question I had from you, I would love to have a QSL card from you if that's at all possible.
It is. If you just send me one, then I'll know who to send it to.
Okay, I really appreciate it, Barry, and I really enjoy talking to you and Lynn, so I'll pass you both 73s.
Okay.
Enjoy the show, Lynn.
Thanks,
73s.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, you know, they also don't let you have a ham license if you lease your vehicle. So if you lease it, like I lease mine, I can't get my call sign, because in Arizona, the license plates are issued to the owner of the vehicle, and since it's a call sign, which is a personal item, they refuse to allow me to have my call sign on my leased car.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I went through a lot of...
So I'm going to get in touch tomorrow.
If you speak to Mr. Symington, please tell him I want special dispensation. I want to remind people, I forgot earlier, that next week our time changes we're going to be on from 2 to 4 from now on, from 2 to 4 p.m. starting next Sunday. And, you know, being in Arizona, we're the only state that doesn't change our times, but everybody else does next week. And so we're going to the 2 to 4 o'clock, 2 to 4 o'clock. So mark that down, please. If anybody can call in at 230-2755 and tell me the date that the small 83-foot tower was erected on Senator Barry Goldwater's Hill, we have a free subscription to 73 Magazine. 230-2755. Just give me the date that the tower was put up, and it's kind of to me it was an interesting date. When I mentioned it to the senator, he didn't even remember.
I don't remember it.
So what do these call signs have in common? W7TPG, W7EH, which of course is Herman Middleton, and Leon Faber. I heard Leon Faber's 100 or close to that.
No, Leon is about 90. He's about 90. He walks every day, and about two or three times a week, I'll run into him out walking.
Really?
He's a fabulous man. You ought to get him on this program.
I call him.
Well, he's probably done more in the way of construction for amateur radio than any man I know of. He manufactured crystals when crystals were very, very important. And he's just one fine, fine man. I've just enjoyed his friendship, and the fact that he is a ham makes it a lot more interesting, but I'm sure he'd want to come on your program.
Well, I'll call. I've talked to him about a year ago, actually.
And, give him another one.
Okay. Well, I never give up. Okay. then we've got K7MUC. I believe he's deceased. K7CCI, W7JUY, K7GPZ, W1AEO, and that's Eugene McElroy.
Yeah, oh my God. Gene helped me a lot in Washington. I didn't have any equipment, and I was a good friend of General LeMay's, and Mac was LeMay's electronic aide. And I always used to say about Mac, if you didn't have it, tell him where it was, and he'd go borrow it.
He'd go borrow.
And last I heard from Mac, he's living in Florida,
Palm City.
Oh, that's right. And
according to the call book.
Well, I don't even know if he's in ham radio anymore. He has. What surprised me, the last card I had from him, he said his son was in the Army, and Lord, I remember when the son was born. Oh, he's a great man.
Well, it says on your tower that Eugene McElroy painted it green because he was Irish?
No, we painted it green in honor of him because he was Irish.
Okay. But those call signs and those people's names are all on
That's
you.
Right.
That all help put your tower up.
Well, what name of that antenna company used to be in Omaha, Nebraska. I can't remember the name of it. But this antenna was called Big Bertha.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys that made these antennas used to spend their winters out here. So the first thing I knew, I got one of these things by freight one day, and 3 tons of antenna. I didn't know how the hell to put it up, so all of us got together and got our screwdrivers and monkey wrenches, and I got it all up. And the town of Paradise Valley, where I live, called me and said, "You have a building permit for that antenna?" I said, "No, I just don't happen to believe I have to have one." I said, "I have the funny belief that everything above me, above the ground I own, clear up to heaven, belongs to me." And I put the antenna up. I said, "If you want to take it down, come over and take it down there. But I want you to know that it's sitting in 13 tons of concrete. And it's still up there."
Well, that antenna, no one else is going to put one up in Paradise Valley. But that brings me to a very important problem, and that is CCR antenna restrictions for amateur radio operators. I've had Neil Wake. Are you familiar with Neil? He's an attorney.
Yeah, sure.
Here. Okay. Involved with that. And when he was on the show, we discussed it. There's almost no new development area in Phoenix area, in the Valley of the Sun, where you can put up an antenna, where you can buy a new home. What can we do about it? Is there somewhere?
Well, I believe the best thing to do is put it up and then let them go to court. What I just said, I think, is true. The space above my property belongs to me. Now, they say it doesn't. Now, it doesn't if you put up a tower so high that it's going to interfere with flying.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different horse.
Right.
But these antennas that you were talking about are what, 20, 30, maybe 50 feet
50.
Up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
That's the advice I give people. Put it up and let them go to court.
Well,
I think they're wrong as wrong can be.
Well, of course, we would all agree with you, unfortunately, that sometimes these the problem is a lot of people sign their, you know, deeds. They never look at the CCRs.
Don't buy the property if they have that restriction.
Yeah. It's a shame. And then now let me relay a story to you, which I think is really an irony here. When Hurricane Iniki occurred, we had Dave Muncian, who was there during the hurricane, and he was really a hairy story from Channel 10 weather. Anyway, a gentleman called in who's a ham radio operator, owns property on the island of Kauai, where Hurricane Iniki destroyed, and they don't allow him to put antennas up. It's all against all the covenants and all that. After the hurricane, they're now pleading with hams to put these antennas up, and because that was the only form of communications they had. Well, of course, after the horse left, they're closing the barn.
Yeah.
But if that could be publicized more, maybe some of these, you know, mayors
and
city councils.
That's the local government.
Well,
the local government is so stupid as to not allow a man to use his property the way he wants, as long as it doesn't interfere with the neighbor. Now, if my big antenna suddenly causes consternation amongst the neighbors, I could be talked to. I don't need one that tall, but it'd take a lot of money to take it down.
Well, I don't think anybody that's moved in your neighborhood is aware that your antenna is there, and I don't think that's ever going to be a problem. Mr. Hormel hasn't called complaining you're interfering on his TV.
No, he's a wonderful man. He'd probably put one up himself.
Well, yeah, how can we get him to be a ham? That's what we want to do. Okay, let's see. We have a trivia answer here. Joel, KB7RYU, welcome to Ham Radio and More. Hey, that's a new call sign.
Yes, I got it January 28th.
Aha, well, welcome.
Well, congratulations.
And you're on with Senator Goldwater. You have a guest here?
Yes, January 19th, 1965.
Now, see, I should have said nobody that was at the shack Wednesday night is permitted because you saw I was writing this information down. But that's okay. You win. You know, what I found really interesting was that is the day, January 19th, 1965, that is written on the tower. And I found that really intriguing. We're not discussing politics, but had you have won the presidency, you would have been inaugurated that next day, January 20th, 1965. And I found that really ironic that that's, you know, really the weekend. That's
there we talked about that.
I found that really ironic. Well, Joel, do you have a question for the senator?
No.
No question? Okay, well, you're going to get a free subscription to 73 Magazine, and I know you were at the shack. What did you think of the shack? Yeah.
It was really impressive. I really enjoyed being there and seeing Senator Goldwater in the shack. It was quite a bit of fun seeing his radios and pictures and things on the walls and everything.
Well, it was a pleasure having you out there.
Okay, Joel, hang on, and Forrest is going to get your information from you. So hold on. You know, that's another thing. I say shack. Well, amateur radio operators call where they put their equipment their shack.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely the wrong thing to call your equipment room. Well, it is, but, you know, when I walked in there, although I'm certainly an amateur radio, the radios and the old radios and everything intrigued me, but what intrigued me more than anything else is the sense of history that you feel when you really walk into your particular shack. And I'm not talking about all the keys of the cities and all the medals and all the other stuff that you have there, but the people, you've had thousands and thousands of people through your shack.
Oh, yes.
Could you name some of the real well-known types of people that have been in there?
Well, Zsa Gabor.
What did she have any comment about amateurs?
No, she wanted to talk to the boys in Vietnam.
Oh, that was during...
So we let her talk to them. Bob Hope has been out there. General LeMay. I can't remember.
Because I was told that you have a guest book, people sign in there.
I've got about 10 of them.
I didn't know before I went to your place, otherwise I'd ask if I could have looked at some of the names.
Well, I don't even know where they are.
Oh, okay. But that would really be intriguing because I know you've had so many people. I mean, that's an institution, your shack.
Yes.
I mean... And we're going to talk about Mars. We're coming up to the hour here. And we're going to talk about Mars, which, not the planet, but we're going to talk about what that does for people, what it did during the Vietnam War, so many other things. Weather, because believe it or not, Senator Goldwater is a, as he said it, and I'm saying verbatim, a weather nut. So we're going to talk about that and a lot of other things in the next hour. And if you want to join in, we have one line open at 230-2755 or in DX land, 1-800-293-KFNN. And I want to remind everybody again that next week we go to 2 o'clock. We start at 2 o'clock, go to 4 o'clock, and we're going to have AMSAT. We're going to talk about AMSAT next week. So stay tuned for the news and the weather and whatever else we have, and then we'll be back with K7UGA and KB7LPW.
Welcome back to Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW. To get in touch with Lynn, call 230-2755 or toll-free 1-800-293-KFNN. Ham Radio and More is brought to you by Wallpaper World and Ken Nichols. Now, here's your host, Lynn Winkler.
CQ, 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 Arizona. We're back. Len Winkler here, KB7 LPW, with Senator Barry Goldwater, K7 UGA. Our phone number, 230-2755, 230-2755, and out there in the boonies, 1-800-293-KFNN. And I want to again remind everybody that next week we start at 2 o'clock instead of 4 o'clock. I mean, instead of 12 o'clock, we start at 2 o'clock and go till 4 o'clock. Okay, I want to just mention one thing, and that is that the ARA repeater antenna and tower on Mount Ord has a slight problem. It fell down a couple weeks ago, and it was up 80 feet and went through a commercial building. Didn't do too much damage to it, thankfully. Our great technicians that we have, and I don't mean that anyway, but honestly, they went up there and they got the tower up so-so, and it's about 40 feet high, and it's about a third of what it was. Now, they have gone out and they have purchased a brand-new 100-foot tower, and it's going to cost right around $20,000 in order to put this tower up. It's not so much the expense of the tower, it's taking the other one down and putting this one up on top of Mount Ord, which is pretty high, and it's got to be done professionally. The ARA is looking for donations to the tower fund, and I'm just giving Barney KB7KOE. Barney KB7KOE is the chairman of the ARA Tower Fund at 861-2817. 861-2817. It provides important communications throughout the entire state of Arizona from north to south. So we certainly need that tower up as soon as possible. If anybody out there is listening and can contribute, $2, $5, $1,000, whatever it is, please give Barney KB7KOE at 861-2817 a call. Okay. Let's get to some more phone calls. Charlie, thank you for holding. You're on KFNN, Ham Radio and More, with Senator Goldwater.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
I have a comment on the license plate business, and I've had licenses since 1939 in Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New York, Arizona, and I've never had a call letter license plate for two reasons. One is security. When I'm away during the summer, etc., I don't wish to advertise that I'm away. Although the house is protected, I don't wish to anyone to be bothered here by someone who thinks there's no one home. The second reason, really, is I resent the case that there is a charge to obtain the so-called vanity plate under which these fall. But then that charge continues every year. Now, it doesn't cost the state anything to let you keep that same one every year. So I think they regard it simply as a source of income under the guise of honoring on amateur radio, and I resent that. Have you time for a technical question?
Yes, sure.
I live not far from Shaw Butte, and a great many emanations from Shaw Butte show up on people's television sets. And, of course, you know, the first reaction is, well, it's that ham down the street.
Yes.
Now, there's one that has shown up within the last month or so, which is giving me particular trouble in finding out where it's coming from, really. And it appears on many of the channels, but probably worse than Channel 10. I live to the west of Shaw Butte, and my antenna is pointed almost due south for my television. But it takes the form of very short pulses, apparently, not synchronized with the television screening, so therefore I don't think it's television involved. It acts more like some kind of digital communication. And then with it, there is what appears to be, could be, modulation bursts. So it appears to me that it's possibly some kind of a paging service digitalized for address and possibly with an audio component for paging. That's just a technical guess. Have you any advice on that, what frequency that might be on, so I can build a suitable trap?
No, I've never heard of that before. I I have cable television, satellite television, and regular antenna television, and I have no problems at all, except during a thunderstorm, the cable usually goes out. If you're bothered continuously by this, you can call the Federal Communications Commission office here. And if they have time, I'm not going to tell you they're going to do it because they're quite busy. They could come out there and monitor and give you the source of your interference. Now, have you checked everything in your home?
Yes, indeed. And it only appears in the evenings, incidentally. And things in my home would not, to my knowledge, emit that kind of particular radiation I'm talking about. That is, the white, very white, short dashes that appear on the screen appear to be pulses. And the fact that they're not synchronized with the television tells me they're not involved with television. Otherwise, they'd sync with the picture.
Well, you'll find.
And you're not near Shaw Butte, Barry.
Shaw Peak, I'm.
Shaw Butte, not Shaw.
Oh, Shaw Butte.
Shaw Peak, Shaw Butte.
Well, that's
Shaw
way
Butte up. Is 19th. Over on 19th, near 19th Avenue.
That's right. I know where that is. I used to climb it.
So there's a lot of radio stuff up there, and it might be an intermod problem between a couple of them.
Well, the reason I mentioned home. People don't realize that practically every gadget you've got in your house, microwaves, everything else like that, do put out signals. And if you find the one that's doing it, it's no trouble to dampen it out. I have no problems at all where I live, even with satellites. And as I said, the only trouble I ever have is during a thunderstorm, the cable will go out.
Yeah.
Okay,
but this is the sort of thing that is particularly bothersome. I had one complaint in the last 18 years, and that woman would not identify herself. She said she didn't want to make any problems for me or to cause any problems, but she said that it was on 24 hours a day, and my reply was, "Madam, do you think I'm really on the air 24 hours a day?"
Oh, we get that.
Isn't that weird?
Well, the only problem I've ever had when I first put my station on, I'd just given some land to build the church on, and my transmitter used to come on pretty loud and clear over the church organ. So we figured that out and stopped it.
I heard somebody say they heard ham radio through their shaver, electric shaver. So, it could be, I heard everything.
That's a pretty good shaver.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right.
Okay, sorry we didn't finish, but at Shaw Butte, there's 1,000 antennas.
Right.
Could be any intermod problem. Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Bob, WB7CAM, welcome to Ham Radio and More and Senator Barry Goldwater.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and good evening, Mr. Senator Goldwater.
Good evening.
We've got a lot in common. You being a pilot, me being a pilot, ham radio, I'm a ham radio operator, and you're involved with weather, and I like weather. I hope to be talking to you on ATV in the future.
Well, I don't blame you.
It's going to be interesting. Kind of an interesting lead-in question here from the gentleman that just called in pertaining to the interference. Sir, years ago when you were in office, do you remember anything about the RFI bill, radio interference bill?
Yes, I do.
And I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about that, how it started and kind of where it went to.
Well, it never got a really good start, and it's, as usual, things like that came out of people that didn't take the time to discover just what the cause was. And once they found out the cause, being either, I won't say amateur radio, but any kind of radio, they could always go to the source, and the source would help the receiver correct it. It just sort of died. It didn't have much backing in the Congress, and There was never much testimony given that showed that it was a real problem.
I see. And has there been anything in the future, recent times, that have popped up that might have brought this back to life in Washington that you know of?
Not that I know of. In fact, I get to Washington once a month for the meeting of the board that I'm on that controls satellites. And satellites are going to regulate all the communications of the future. In fact, if you're an old military man, you'll be happy to learn that CompSat, the satellites are going to control all communications between all the services. And that means if you're out flying an airplane in the Air Force and you want to talk to a Navy, you can. Or you want to talk to a ground controller, you can. Now, that wasn't possible in the old days. The communications in the service, hell, they were did better when they had smoke signals.
There you go. I agree with you, sir.
So, but now it's going to be better, and I'm happy to tell you.
Great. Fantastic. Now, you might be interested to know that back in around 1972, yes, I was in the Navy, and I helped establish the Mars station over in Sasebo, Japan, call letters N7NVV.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we have communicated a few times and more or less exchanged signal reports between your affiliate station, Gateway Station, and our station out there in Sasebo, Japan.
Yep.
And brings back old memories.
It sure does.
Okay, Senator. Thank you very much, and we hope to be looking at you on ATV.
Roger.
Are you looking at us now?
Yes, sir. I
okay.
Sure am, and you're looking real good.
Okay, Bob. Thank you.
Okay, Lynn. Thank
bye
you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's right. We are showing this. I think this is the first time in history this has been done. A live radio show on amateur television. At least it's the first time with Senator Goldwater, the first time I've done it. And if you do have a cable-ready television with an outside antenna, you still have time. There's another 45 minutes left. Turn to channel 57 on your cable TV. Not cable, regular cable, but cable channel 57 on your television with an outside antenna, and you'll be able to get the same frequency that the ATV is broadcasting. So we're showing this live on amateur television right now. I heard that when you were in Vietnam during Vietnam, of course, and the Mars station was up, that you received or they sent you a slow scan TV picture of Snoopy.
A picture of
Snoopy the dog from the Peanuts. Ken Nichols told me that they sent the Snoopy picture over. I don't know what.
Oh yeah, we were experimenting with transmitting television from my station here to Vietnam, and I took the equipment over with me, and they did send a picture of the dog. But that never amounted to much, and it should have. But people in this country had perfected a means whereby you could record television on a quarter-inch tape and transmit it over ham radio and be received at the other end and turned back into a likeness of what you were transmitting from here. But it just sort of pooped out.
Well, you know, Mars, we've been talking about it, and of course, again, being the military-affiliated radio service, that's where ham radio operators, again, free of charge, mm-hmm. are involved with helping the military and servicemen talk to their loved ones and family.
That's right.
Now, I only can relate to Desert Storm. I was around during the Vietnam War, but thankfully, I was a little young and didn't go, but... during Desert Storm, 175,000, according to General Schwarzkopf, 175,000 pieces of traffic were transferred. And we had Robert Sutton, the chief mm-hmm. of Army Mars here, and gave me the letter, and it was fantastic. During Vietnam, of course, your station had, was it 15,000 watts of power?
300,000.
Watts of power.
I had four linear amplifiers of 5,000 watts.
So you had 20,000.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is that unless it was very unusual conditions, 1,000 was all you needed.
Because what a lot of people don't realize is even though they might hear you with 20,000 watts, it doesn't going to help you hear them.
Well, no, the legal limit for an amateur is 1,000.
1,500.
Well, 1,500 on some,
right.
Some circumstances, but I work barefoot mostly, and it's just as good. I can talk to the East Coast. I'll turn the amplifier on. They might move me up one notch, and that's about all. But you have to be very careful. They're very sticky on power, and I don't blame them. I don't want to ever see amateurs have the right to use 5 kW. The only reason we could do it was we were a Mars station, and we were operating really under the influence and control of the Air Force.
And what was your Air Force Mars call?
AF6BG.
Okay. And, again, over 300,000 pieces of
traffic.
That's right. And so, you know, can you relate? I know there's a few real good stories. Could you relate one of them to us of a Mars to get the idea what people can feel for what service it provided?
Well, the only one I can makes me mad. I was on a Christmas day. I used to work the station Christmas when I was home. And I patched a fellow in from Vietnam to his wife. And he said, I'm going to be home in 2 weeks. She said, don't bother coming home. I'm getting a divorce. Well, I got so damn mad, I called her every kind of a bad name I could think of, and then every time I'd get one drink, I'd call her up on the phone and call her a bitch or something like that. Can't imagine a woman divorcing a man that had been in fighting for his country. I should have waited till he got home and then told him about it.
Well, it most stories weren't quite that. Most of the time,
well,
the people... That was different, but most of them really, if it wasn't for amateur radio during Vietnam, they would never have spoken to their loved ones.
And I remember when I was in the service and sitting in China or India, no way to talk home. Now you pick up the phone and talk home.
Or the cellular phone.
That's
with
right.
Satellite, I guess they even have that service now where you can use it all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, amateur radio plays so many important parts, and so many people owe so much to you and your shack for the Vietnam Mars service.
It was a real pleasure. I enjoyed it.
And we have on line 3, Dale, KB7JTR. Welcome.
Yeah, hello, Lynn and Senator Goldwater. Dale, KB7JTR here.
Hi, Dale.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Senator Goldwater. I used your service there in 1969 from YK, and I wanted to tell you how much I really appreciate it, and also welcome you on 2 meters there for our amateur group. We use 145.19 frequency, so we'd sure love to have you on there, and in the process of getting some cans on there and use it in the repeat.
What was that frequency?
145.19 simplex.
196. Okay, I've got the car out here. I'll tune it in when I leave.
Okay. And it's great talking to you.
And wonderful to talk with you. We'll see you down the log.
Okay.
Thanks, Dale.
Bye-bye.
There's a perfect example of someone who used Mars during Vietnam.
Yeah.
So. Now, when we talk to people as hams all over the world, we get a QSL card, which is really a postcard, which is a verification of speaking to them. But there's other kinds of wallpaper around. And, of course, Wallpaper World. Now, how's that for a segue? There's Wallpaper World, with 6 locations through the valley, is the place to buy wallpaper and custom window treatments. They are the only company in Phoenix, Arizona, the only company that manufactures their own wood shutters, their own vertical blinds, their own pleated shades, their own mini blinds, all here in Phoenix, and sell it direct to the public. There's nobody else manufacturing all that here in Phoenix. Not only that, they distribute Levalor, Louvre Drape, Bally, Duet, Hunter Douglas, Kirsch, all the major brands at the best prices, bar none. If you want quality, Wallpaper World has it and at the lowest prices going today. Plus, they have service in each one of their stores, trained designers, trained decorators that will be there to assist you free of charge in your selection. Let me tell you about wallpaper. If you get a pattern that you want from a wallpaper book, check all over the United States of America and get the best deal you can. You call Wallpaper World, they will beat the deal. Guaranteed. Try it. Take my word for it. It does work. They have a location in Mesa, Chandler, Phoenix, Northeast Phoenix, Central Phoenix, Scottsdale, and Paradise Valley. They've been here since 1977. They are the leaders. And if you buy four or more blinds, they will install it absolutely free. The deal is great. And right now, 80% off on leveler mini blinds, 80% off the legitimate list prices. Wallpaper World, 272-4788, 272-4788. Wallpaper World, they really do make selecting wallpaper and custom window treatments an enjoyable experience. Okay, a little different type of wallpaper. Now, I didn't see any QSL cards when I was in your shack, Senator.
Well, I keep them all in safety deposit boxes. It's not done as much as it used to because it costs too much. A QSL card today costs 25 cents to mail. Well, when I first started, it was one penny. Oh, I bet I don't know how. Probably got a couple hundred thousand.
Wow.
But they're and from all over the world. But as I say, it's gotten to be a little bit expensive. And I try to QSL everybody I work, but it's getting a little heavy.
You keep your log current? You keep a log of every every single
I keep a log, and it you no longer have to keep a log. But I do. I keep the log of as accurately as I can. I'm not always able to get the full name or to get the QTH, the location, but I keep it as religiously as I can.
Okay. Well, I've got a caller online that is going to bring up something that that you've already touched on and that's become very important, and that is no code. John, KB7RRL, you're on Ham Radio and More with Senator Barry Goldwater.
Yeah, good afternoon, Lynn, and Senator Goldwater. My name is John.
John?
And, Senator, I used to run a Mars station down at Cherry Point, North Carolina,
Kilo 4
Baker Uniform Juliet.
Good.
And I don't know if you remember that station at all, Marine Corps Air Station. And, however, I am a member at large of the Paralyzed Veterans of America out of Washington, D.C., and do have a disability with the learning, relearning the code. I go by relearning radio listener for RRL. However, I've noticed since the new no-code license has been available, I would just like to know your comments. There's a lot of hatred out there by the older amateur radio operators. A lot of comments that have been made on the air. I'll say it. Forrest said to say it. Being called the no-code scum and stuff like that. However, I respect a novice much more than the licensed class that I have, and I would like to have your opinion, if at all possible, of what your feelings are and if the commission should have opened this licensed class up. Before you answer, I will continue to say that I did mail my license back for a week, and the next day, I put a trace on it at the post office here in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and got operating permission from the FCC engineer in charge. And Douglas, Mr. Suey, and he says, no problem, you're a licensed operator. I'd just like your opinion, sir. By the way, I also would like to know if you ever attended the Friday evening parade at Marine Barracks in Washington, D.C. I used to handle the protocol telephone calls. Back to you, sir.
To answer your last question, no, I never did, but I'm a great admirer of the Marines. I have a Marine saber hanging up on my wall that they gave me once. Now, as to no code, when I got my license back in 1923, of course you had to learn the code and use it. I still use CW. I like it myself, but when I grew older and realized that the amateur ranks were not being replaced by young people. And in talking to young people, I found out that they didn't want to learn the code. I came out in favor of doing away with the code as a requisite for a license. Now, there's so many means of communication today that no code is used any place in the world anymore, unless it's just between a couple of old hands that like to talk on CW. And I think it's working well. When you look at all the means of communication today, packet, television, satellite, there's just no end to it. And I think it's going to work, and I think it is working. The amateur ranks are beginning to fill up again, and I think it's good for radio.
Well, Senator, I agree with you immensely. However, I am trying the code. I've been on the code for 8 months, and I can copy the code. The only problem is when it comes down to listening, we have a cervical. We're a C6, by the way. That's a cervical C6 injury from the military. And I just wanted your opinion. I just wish that the rest of the amateur radio community out there would be more tolerant.
Well, I think they are. I think that the old fellows like me, an old man like me, many of them that I know that don't like the idea of no code. But when you ask the question, well, is it being used by anybody? No, just the hams when they want to talk.
Well, I agree that this belongs in amateur radio, my own personal opinion, Senator. And I'm sorry that what I went through and some of the abuse, in fact, even sending the license back to Gettysburg will tell you something. Everyone likes to be accepted by everybody. And when I was at Cherry Point, North Carolina, handing health and welfare traffic, helped a lot of people. The American Red Cross, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Getting people back home when there was a death in the family. And then 30 years later, I'm in a time capsule. I remember amateur radio when there was strict rules and regulations and people respected other amateurs. But however, it seems that myself being a no-coder, there is a percentage of the population that the amateur radio community that just point blank even told me, I'm not going to talk to you that are hams that I knew before I became licensed. I will not talk to you until you get your code.
But John, though, there's people that are ignorant that complain to no coders as well as coded people, and they shouldn't. They try to, you know, we have what we call the ham police, and you know they think they're the police officers and they know what's going on, and they create a lot of bad feelings for hams. But that's in every walk of life. You're going to get a few percentage of people who don't do things right. But, you know, I'm glad to hear that you are back on the air and you did not give in just because somebody was a schmo.
That's right.
Okay?
Thank you very much, Senator, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you very much.
Give them hell.
Will do.
God bless you.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye. Yeah, you know, I hear that, and that's one of my pet peeves when I hear a new person get on the air and somebody else is starting to tell them, don't say QSL on FM, or don't say Roger, or don't say 10-4. You know, it's not something they have to be belittled about. It's just, you know, it may not be the normal, but
they
so
don't
what?
Take the trouble to learn.
Well,
it's like people who drive cars in this town. They drive 100 miles an hour and never say why. They have accidents and never say why. Same way with everything we do. People are people that want to do it wrong.
Well, they are going to change the test. The testing question pool changes in July.
Yeah.
And I certainly hope, I haven't seen it yet, but I certainly hope that it's going to be some more practical information, because there's so much of this technical stuff which is not being utilized.
That's right.
You know, we have... And I'm a great, and anybody who listens to this show knows, I call myself an appliance operator. I make sure it works. I'm not a builder.
Well, building a radio, an amateur radio station today is not easy. When I started, it wasn't too hard. But today, with the little black boxes and the all that stuff. You've got to be a graduate of MIT to know what the hell's going on.
You do, and they're so small, you got to have good eyes to
right.
see it. And I'll tell you, anybody that can go out there and build a 781 or an FT-1000, they can't get the CPU unit to build
it. No, they can't
so.
Do it.
So. Okay, let's see. We have, who else do we have? Oh, line one. We have Jim, AA7KC. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Good afternoon, Len and Senator Goldwater.
Hi.
I'd like to address this to Senator Goldwater.
Okay.
I would really like to thank you for your support of AMSAT and the Amateur Satellite Group. I have the tape that you've made for Phase 3D, and I've been showing it at several presentations. Of course, Your Honor, associated with it, obviously draws in more people. It's really a great tape. And I think it shows what we need for Phase 3D. For Len's viewers, with listeners, I would like to comment.
And viewers today.
I beg your pardon?
And viewers today. We have people watching this live on Channel 57.
Oh, very good.
Go ahead, Jim.
In any event, I would like to add the growth of the Phase 3D, which for the viewers and the listeners, we'd like to pass on, is going to be the most incredible thing that's ever been launched by amateur radio.
Oh, no question.
And we're really looking forward to it, and I think your support of it and your making that video has been a giant step in aiding that satellite getting off the ground.
Well, I'm a satellite nut. I'm on the ComSat board. I go to the laboratory once a month to see what they're up to. And like I related earlier, one of the great advancements in communications that have been made is the fact that all communications between the military forces are not going to be controlled by ComSat or by satellite. So when you want some support from an Air Force plane, you're going to get it right now. When you want the Navy to help you, you're going to get it right now. You don't wait around a week for somebody to get the right frequency.
That's very interesting, Senator Goldwater. I was wondering, do you operate the Oscar 13 or Oscar 10?
No, I don't yet, but I listen. I haven't put a funny thing. I was just looking at a catalog this morning with the antenna for satellites, but I haven't put it up. I don't know where to put it. I don't have enough room in that roof even for the birds.
Well, next week, Jim is going to be my guest, actually, next week from 2 to 4, and we're going to talk about AMSAT.
Oh, you're going to love it. It's a coming thing.
I really enjoy it, and I was hoping that you'd be on Oscar 13. I'd very much like to stir up a contact. We could go 50,000 miles to talk about 20 miles across town. But thank you for your time, Senator Goldwater,
well,
thanks for letting me on the radio there. Len, we'll enjoy listening to you next, or talking to you next week.
We'll see you, and we'll talk about Phase D.
All right, very
thanks,
good.
Jim. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Nick, K7TZJ, welcome to Ham Radio More and Senator Barry Goldwater.
Oh, thank you, and welcome to Senator Goldwater.
Thank you.
You slipped on the call a little. It's K7TJZ, but that's a minor point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Senator, I'd like to say thank you for your appointment one time to a military academy, which unfortunately due to my glasses didn't come about, but you did, as I remember, you did make the appointment, and I did follow through as far as I could.
Well, I'm glad you did. That was the big regret in my life is that I didn't go to West Point after I had the chance to.
Well, I wish I could have. Unfortunately, it didn't work.
Nope.
And do you remember the first amateur radio relay league convention in Scottsdale when the TV club tried to run television from your shack to the club meeting?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I was involved in that, and I don't remember a whole lot about your shack at this point, because I was so much involved in getting the television set up. I'd love to see the station.
Well, someday drop up. I'm always there.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy the airtime.
I do very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Nick.
Bye-bye.
Okay, an old friend of yours that was on Mars, Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ, the fleet manager for Linda Brock Auto Mall. He helped sponsor this show and has from the beginning of the show, a beginning of time for 2 years. Ken, really, if you need a vehicle, Ken has the best deal going today from Linda Brock Auto Mall at 6601 East McDowell Road in Scottsdale. Whether it's a Volkswagen, a Dodge, an Oldsmobile, a BMW, he can get you the best deal going. It's amazing. All these other companies now are saying, we have one price, we have one price. Here's the list, and here's our discount. No more high negotiating and all this other stuff. Ken has had this for years. All you do is call him on the telephone. You tell him, hey, I want a Dodge Shadow or whatever, and pow. He gives you the list price. He gives you the discounted price. There's no hassle. There's no high pressure. You're dealing with a ham radio operator that's trustworthy. And the service. And he has leasing. He has low financing. It's all done easily. And let me tell you, he has story upon story, seriously, of satisfied customers. He even helped. He told me about a customer during this last week who tried out a truck and decided that he didn't like that. His family didn't like the Dodge truck as much as they liked a Ford truck that they went to down the street. He got them that Ford truck for less money than they could buy that Ford truck at the place that they went. So whether it's a Ford, any vehicle at all, really, Ken Nichols is the guy to call for the best deal in town on any new vehicle, bar none. His phone number is 228-2336. The line might be busy, but you can try again. 228-2336. No baloney. Lowest prices, fleet prices, direct to you. Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Auto Mall. And I didn't set this up like this, but Ken is on the phone. So, welcome to Ham Radio and More, Ken Nichols.
Hi, Lynn. How are you doing? And good afternoon to Barry.
Hi, Ken. Haven't seen you in a long time.
Well, Barry, I tell you what, I couldn't let this show go by without calling in and thanking you for, first of all, the opportunity of working at your station during the Vietnam War. It was fantastic.
Well, that was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me, too.
And I don't think that we'll probably ever see another time in history that we can live those memories.
I don't ever see another war.
No, me either. But I can relate to what you were talking about when you got mad at that person. But I can tell you that the times that we sat there and run those calls,
yeah,
and the tears running down our cheeks from,
that's right,
listening to those conversations, it was really sad.
It was.
But again, thank you, and thank you for all the things that you've done for the military.
Thank you, and keep up your good work.
We'll do it, Barry, and good luck to you.
Roger.
Hey, Lynn, would you give out the phone number? I've got Dottie wanting to call you.
The phone number here, sure, 230-2755, 230-2755. There's no lines available till you hang up.
Hey, Lynn, I just wanted to say thank you for the good job, as always.
Thank you very much, Ken. Appreciate it.
Have a good afternoon.
Bye. You
bye-bye
too. Bye. Okay, and I also want to mention Nick Seuss's Product Corner, and Nick's Corner won't be heard today because of Senator Goldwater being here, but if you need your vehicle, and excuse me, if you need your radio repaired, and I heard a rumor that you have brought a radio. In fact, Nick told me that you've brought a radio over to him if it had it repaired there. He told me that Thursday or Wednesday. I forgot what receiver it was.
He does a hell of a good job.
Well, see, so if the senator goes there, too, you should. If you have a radio needs a repair, 992-4133, 992-4133. And he'll be back on next Sunday with a review of that brand-new Kenwood TS-50S, which if you haven't seen that, Senator, you'll want one. It's the size of a little tiny unit, and it's a brand new Kenwood. It just
I'm
came out.
I'm going to look at one tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Who do we have? Oh, I see. We have here online Jerry, W9INP. You know, I was really going to get to asking the senator about you and about the fact that he has a chapter named after him here at QCWA. You're online with Senator Goldwater.
Hi, Len, and hi, Barry.
Hi.
I have been listening to a great program here, and I was just afraid that QCWA would not be mentioned. So
it's on my list.
Oh, okay.
Like, go ahead.
I should have waited then.
No, go ahead.
But Billy is a past national president of QCWA, and we were honored that he allowed us to name our chapter after him, the Arizona chapter number 16. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank him again. And I'd also like to mention that I heard an interview on another station that I won't mention with Barry and Susan. And I thought the line about Arizona being 113,000 acres of heaven was absolutely perfect.
Thank you.
I'm having as much trouble getting through it as you did.
Yeah, well, it wasn't easy, I'll tell you. Because I was born here, and I really have an affection for this place.
It's obvious. Well, thank you, and I enjoyed talking
with
you.
Well, thanks for calling, and thanks for all that you did to help that effort of ours successful.
Okay, thank you again, and thanks, Lynn.
Okay,
good program.
Jerry. Thank you very much for calling, Jerry.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I need to ask you this question, only because I only heard pieces of this. Something about extraterrestrials and radio. Do you know what I'm talking? Kitt Peak. Have you been to Kitt Peak? And somebody said that you heard something and you thought possibly is there? Do you have an opinion on that? Life, radio signals.
Well, I don't take a position except this. God created this universe that we're in. And it's just one universe. God knows how many other universes there are. But there's about 2 billion planets in this universe. Now, I can't be convinced that the Earth is the only planet on which God put creatures. Now, I can't argue successfully on that, but I can't believe that that's true. So, when you talk about unidentified flying objects, that's my answer. There's other people, there's other things out there, there's other creatures out there. And when I go to Kitt Peak, which is once in a while, they have one telescope and listening observatory that listens to these signals that come out of space. Now, being an old radio operator, knowing the code, I know what static sounds like. I also know what sort of organized signals like the Morse code or the international code sound like. It isn't scrambled. I'm not saying that makes it true. But the people down there do listen to these peculiar sounds that come out of space. Nobody's been able to read it. Probably no one ever will. But when people tell me they've seen a flying object, an unidentified flying object, I've had good airline pilots tell me that. I've had good fighter pilots tell me that. I've had people out hunting tell me that. I can't conscientiously call them a liar. Because that's the way I feel.
But you've never seen one.
Never have. No.
I've had a guy on, Steve Fisher, from the Space Propulsion Laboratory in California. That is he's a scientist on the SETI project, this new one with the big antennas. We had him explain all the different ways that they're going to try to find out if there are extraterrestrial. It's a 10-year project, and it's $1 billion or something. And it was very, very interesting how they're doing it. And he said he hopes he finds something. Hate to spend $1 billion not to find anything.
Well, I hope they can prove something. Not that it would benefit us to know that there are other things out there that live, maybe not like we do, but maybe better.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's as you say, with 2 billion other planets or celestial objects, it's hard to believe that we're that important. That we're the only ones.
I don't believe it.
Okay, well, I kind of agree with you. All right, let's see. We've got a whole bunch of things here. Okay, Dave, AA7TK, you're online with K7UGA.
Well, good afternoon, and to you too, Barry.
Okay.
I have a couple things here. First of all, for you, Lynn, you can get collar placed for a leased car.
you just have to get the leasing company's permission.
No, we had the leasing company's permission. The state refused. I was there. I was online. We had a conference call. They absolutely refused.
Really? Because I just got a new place a month ago, and they have maybe...
Are they call sign plates?
Yeah.
They refused. They absolutely refused. And the Infinity said, absolutely, you can do it. No problem on our end. The state said no.
Well, give it another shot, because maybe they changed their mind.
I got mine.
Well, you don't lease your vehicle, though.
Well, I've had the same plates for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You lease yours, Dave?
Well, I did. I've only got a year left on a lease, so I'm not going to bother with it at this point. But if I'd known about it 5 years ago, but they did say yes, you can. So you might give it another shot.
Well, okay.
Okay, for Barry, he probably doesn't remember this because it's just a letter he got from a 14-year-old about 20 years ago. But I had just become a ham, and I heard some interference on 40 meters. These guys kept jamming the Westcar's net. And I wrote to Barry and asked him what we could do about it. And it was kind of neat because he wrote back, and I knew it was from him and not an aide or anything, because I get this thing, it comes back, and it says, well, tell you what, there's not much we can do about it, but if you meet the SOB, hit him in the nose for me, will you? It was great. Whenever I tell any friends about that, they smile and say, yeah, that's Barry.
Yeah, we've put up with a lot of that, but it's, we still have the problem. There's some people that just like to get on the air and jam things up and raise hell with everybody else, but we're catching them now. Just reading yesterday that they've socked a fellow in California $10,000
for
interference, and we just can't put up with it.
Yeah,
we go through a lot of those type of announcements, unfortunately. But good thing the FCC has raised the amount of fines.
That's right.
And they're cracking down. And of course, the ham radio operators are policing the frequencies and are getting, you know, are really good at doing that. So
that's right.
Fortunately, it's a real small percentage of hams.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, Dave.
Thank you.
We'll see you next month at FAIR.
Okay. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye. Had to get that in. We've got a few more calls here that I want to take before the end of the hour here. Let's see. Russ, welcome to Ham Radio and More. You're on with Len Winkler and Senator Barry Goldwater.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a comment or a question, I guess. How the licensing process could be speeded up. I'm disabled and legally blind, and I took my test in California in January 16th. I'm a handy ham, and still sitting here in 10 weeks waiting for my license, and some people around here have gotten them in 7 weeks, 8 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and some people that were at this particular handicap camp have gotten theirs, but it seems that they are taking so long to get some of these new people on the air that maybe they kind of lose enthusiasm. You know, they buy a radio and you sit here and listen to it like me, and you're just dying to push that push-to-talk button, but you can't. And QST, I think, said a couple of months ago that they have two women doing the license processing on Tuesdays. So,
well, that's about true. I've been up to Gettysburg. I used to talk to President Eisenhower about this. I talked to President Kennedy about it. Well, they say we don't have enough money, and they don't. The FCC, the amateur division, it gets along on practically nothing. Now, I had a man call me at my house yesterday about interference. Well, I said, call and see if you can't get it monitored. He says, I've called them and called them and called them. The trouble is they don't give them enough money to hire enough people to really do the job they have to do.
Senator, what would you think about if they charged a fee for a license? They do that almost everywhere in the world.
I know they do, but I'd tell this man to write Senator McCain and Congressman Kyle and just tell them the problem. And I think a phone call, yeah, it gets a little action.
Oh, okay. Appreciate it. But I think all these new hams, you know, they like to get on air a little faster.
Well, don't blame you a bit. I'd raise hell myself.
It was taking 10, 12 weeks. It's supposed to be down to 7. Give Gettysburg a call. If you don't have the number, I don't have it right with me. You can call Douglas, and they'll be happy to give you the phone number, Douglas, Arizona, FCC office.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you much.
Thanks, Russ.
Right.
Bye-bye. Okay. Let's see. Okay, Gary, WA7WDC, you're on Ham Radio More, KFNN with Barry Goldwater.
Hello, Senator?
Yeah.
I'd just like to say thank you for indirectly. Through your office, I met someone at your Mars station, Gene Traber, W7GX.
Oh.
Who got me involved in amateur radio many years ago. He showed me the station.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that.
And I never could remember how to pronounce the Navajo saying for your station.
What is that? Well, it just slips me. It's up there right above where I operate. In English, it's music from iron. Because anything the Navajo doesn't quite understand, it comes from iron, because iron is what they make automobiles out of and plows and all the things that the non-Indian made to introduce to the Navajo. So that's where it came from. The name slips me.
It translated into Navajo metal that speaks, but I never could pronounce the Navajo.
That's right.
Thank you again.
Okay, palabra.
Thank you, Gary. Bye-bye. Tom,
yes.
Welcome to Ham Radio More and Senator Barry Goldwater.
Yes, thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Senator, I just want to go along with your thoughts as far as the UFOs and, other possibilities out there in the wide, vast universe.
And, yep.
The other thing I wanted to ask is, I'm not a ham operator, but I certainly would like to get involved, but I'm in an area that... Well, I'm sure they have covenants as far as antennas and things of this nature.
Where do you live?
Out in Scottsdale.
Oh, that's not too bad out there.
And
I live in Paradise Valley,
right.
And it's got antennas sticking up all around me.
Well, they wouldn't. I don't think they would allow it in our area. And I just wondered if there's technology developed where you wouldn't need a high antenna.
Oh yes, you can. We build antennas today. I've talked about General LeMay before, but
right.
He lived in Newport Beach, California, an old ham, and they wouldn't let him put up an antenna.
Uh-huh.
So we put up a modified dipole in the eaves of his attic, and it worked beautifully. He could work DX all over the world.
I'd like to put a spot in here that next week... you're welcome to come next week on Wednesday, not the 6th, I guess, or whatever that day that's Wednesday, the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club, the first Wednesday of April,
uh-huh.
And we'll be happy to explain everything and anything. You certainly don't need to be a ham radio operator to come to one of our meetings.
Okay, well, that sounds great, and you know, the only unfortunate thing, even in the townhouse that we're in, we don't even have an attic. So,
well, but you can do a lot of things.
If you live in an apartment house, you don't have much of a problem. You can put a little vertical up on top of the roof, and nobody can complain about that.
Yeah, well.
Come on down to the Scottsdale Senior Center, 7 p.m., the first Wednesday of April.
Oh, okay.
No, come on down.
Okay,
no
that
charge.
Sounds great. Yeah.
No charge, come on down. Even Senator Goldwater is a member.
Is that right? Well,
yes,
I'd certainly like to, get involved, but I figure, well, if I started all that, I might be
come
castigated.
On down. No, come on down.
Okay, great.
You'll find a lot of people in the same boat.
Okay, great. Well, thanks very much.
Thank
okay.
You.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, in real fast, Dick, KG7MR.
Oh, good afternoon to you, Len.
Yep. You got 30 seconds.
Oh, okay, Barry, I want to ask, what kind of equipment do you use at your station?
Oh, I use a lot of it, mostly a Kenwood 830, and I've got so many other little outfits around that I've made and bought and stolen that I can't name them all.
Is it possible to come by to visit you sometime?
I'm there once in a while. Just come out and see if I'm home.
Okay, we'll do that. Hey, one thing more. All for that fellow that mentioned the fee on the license plate, the annual fee. I'm against that. I did not have to pay that when I lived in California, and I don't feel it's necessary. So you might pass that on to the governor for me.
I will.
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Dick. Okay, well, boy, this 2 hours went pretty fast. Anything, what can you tell us that amateur radio might have done for you, for your career, or what can we tell younger people, like my daughter sitting there, what amateur radio can do for them if they're not now involved?
I started amateur radio when I was 13 years old, and I've made more friends through that, I think, than anything I've ever done. Any place I go in this world, I've talked to by radio. I visited the South Pole, operated the ham station 200 feet under the ice. I've flown over the North Pole and talked to people from there. I've talked to people from over the oceans, over the different continents, China, the whole world. Greatest thing that ever happened.
Well, okay. I really appreciate it. It's been an honor having you.
It's great fun being here with you.
And I thank you for listening. We'll be on next week at 2 o'clock. Until then, this is KB7 LPW and K7 UGA 73s, Arizona.
Thanks.
Financial News Radio 1510 is KFNN, Mesa, Phoenix.